Amud Aleph, we're up to the top line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Leir Rav Nachman, Ela Me'ata, Oved Kochavim V'Yisrael Omed Al Gabav, Hachi Nami D'Chasher. So if you remember, at the end of the day yesterday, we mentioned this idea that a Chere Shota V'Katan, despite the fact that they're Alav B'nei Deya, they don't have Das, they can still write again as long as there's a Gadol Omed Al Gabav. There's a competent Jew over the age of 13 standing on top of them and telling them exactly what to do. So the question is, if that's true, why can't a non-Jew write again? So the Gemara says, maybe it's true. Maybe a non-Jew can write again. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Vahasanya, ove kochavim, puzzle. The Brisa says explicitly that a non-Jew is not able to write again. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, no, ove kochavim ledaite denav sheyava. Because even if you have a competent Jew over the age of 13 standing on top of the non-Jew telling him exactly what to write, exactly what to think, the Gemara says that's not going to work. Why? Because the Gemara coins the expression that ove kochavim ledaite denav sheyava, that a non-Jew does his own thing. He doesn't pay attention to whatever the guy who's telling, in other words, the Jew who's standing on top of him tells him to do, as opposed to a Cheresh Shotev HaKatan. If you have a regular competent Gadol who's standing over him, he's just going to listen and think whatever the Gadol tells him to do. The non-Jew, the presumption is that he's going to have his own Kavana, and that's why they get his puzzle. So then the Gemara backs down from that. The Gemara says, Hadar Amar Rav Nachman, Lav Nosi Damri. So Rav Nachman says, maybe it's not true. Maybe really a non-Jew can in fact write again. How does he know that? The Midika Pasile La'ove Kochavim La'inyin Hava Michlal De'Le'inyin Ksiva Kashir. Just basically, the Mishnah tells us that a non-Jew is disqualified from acting as a shaliach to deliver a get, implying that he's kosher to write a get. So the question, of course, is v'hasanya ovikochavim pasul. How do you explain the brayse that we just quoted a second ago that says explicitly that a non-Jew cannot write a get? So the Gemara says, no, hahi Rabbi Elazar, he da'amar edi mesira karsei uva'inan ksiva lishma v'havadei ovikochavim adayte denav sheka. This is, again, comes back to the shita we've quoted already 100 times from Sechta, the shita of Rabbi Elazar, that edi mesira karsei, which is the idea that it's the edim who witness the transmission of the get that are the ones who effectuate the divorce, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, who says it's the Eidei Chasima, who says it's the Eidim who sign on the bottom of the get. Therefore, if you hold like Rabbi Elazar that it's the Eidei Mesira who effectuate the divorce, that means that the critical component of the get that needs to be written Lishma is the actual Ksiva, the actual writing of the get. Again, Rabbi Meir, who says that it's the Eidei Chasima, he'll tell you that the requirement of Lishma by a get doesn't mean that the get itself has to be written Lishma. It means that the signing of the witnesses on the bottom of the get have to be the Shema. So this brisa that disqualifies a non-Jew from writing a get is only going to be true according to Rabbi Elazar, because he insists that the get itself has to be written Lishma, because he holds that Eidei Mesira Karsei, and therefore, as we pointed out in the Gemara before, when a non-Jew is writing the get, he's doing so with his own intentions. He's not paying attention to whatever the Jew is telling him to do, and that's why, according to this brisa and according to Rabbi Elazar, he would be disqualified from writing a get. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir, Afilu Mitzah Ba'ashba Chasmo Unisan Kasher. Again, Rabbi Meir, who disagrees with Rabbi Elazar, who says that Eidei Chasima Karsei, says the following halacha. Let's say I find a get in a garbage can. I find a get in the garbage dump, and I take the get out of the get. You know, the get perfectly aligns. It has my name, my wife's name, the same city. You know, everything is 100% correct. And then I find witnesses, and the witnesses sign the get properly and hand it to my wife. So according to Rabbi Meir, that's okay. According to Rabbi Elazar, that's not going to work because you have no definitive way of knowing that the get was written Lishma. According to Rabbi Meir, the get doesn't have to be written Lishma; it just has to be signed Lishma. So as long as the Edom signed the get Lishma, that would be good enough. So asks the Gemara, Isive Rav Rav Nachman, V'chasav Lo Lishma, My Lav Ksivas Aget. Lo Chasim Asedim. The pasuk tells us that v'chasav la. So again, everyone agrees that there's a requirement of lishma by a get. The only question is, what does that mean exactly? What does it mean that you have to write the get lishma? So the Gemara says, doesn't that mean that the actual writing of the get, the actual text of the get, has to be written lishma? The Gemara says, no. It just means that the signing of the witnesses has to be lishma. Again, that would be Rabbi Meir's position. So the Gemara asks again, Esi ve'rava kol get shenichtav shelo lishem isha pasul. Doesn't the Braisa say that any get that's not written for the sake of that woman is pasul, implying that the get itself has to be written lishma? Shema. And again, the Gemara says, no, Ema shenechtam shelo lishem isha pasul. The Braisa meant that if it wasn't signed for the sake of that woman, then it's pasul. Now the Gemara asks again, Esi ve kishehu kosvo ki'ilu kosvo lishma, my lav kishehu kosvo la toref lishma, ki'ilu kosvo la tofes lishma. The Braisa says that if part of the get was written lishma, it's as if the entire get was written lishma. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, presumably what that means is that as long as the toref, which we spoke about the other day, the toref refers to the essential parts of the get, like the names of the people, the names of the cities and things like that, As long as that was written lishma, it's as if the tofes, as if the standardized text of the get was also written lishma. Doesn't that imply that a get has to be written lishma? And again, the Gemara says lo kishahu chosmo lishma ki ilu kosvo lishma. So one answer in the Gemara is that when you sign the get lishma like Reb Meir, so then it's as if you wrote the get lishma. That's one possibility. Then the Gemara says maybe you can argue that all these brisos are actually reflecting Rabbi Elazar's position that it's the Eidei Mesira, the Eidim who witnessed the transmission of the get, that are really effectuating the divorce. The Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel v'hu shashir mekoma Torah v'chein Amar Rabbi Chaga mishmei de'ula v'hu shashir mekoma Torah v'Rabbi Elazar hi. And the only way to read these brisos according to Rabbi Elazar is to add a caveat, which is that these people who are disqualified from writing gittin, whether it's a guy, whether it's a cheresh, etc., all these people, you have to say that they only wrote the standardized text, because as we pointed out earlier in the week, b'di'evet, if the standardized text was written shelo lishma, as long as the toref, the essential parts, were written lishma, that's okay. So in other words, the only way to salvage these brisos according to Rabbi Elazar is to add this caveat to say that he wrote the standardized text shelo lishma, and then somebody else, a regular gadol, came along and wrote the regular parts, the essential parts of the get lishma, and that could still conform to Rabbi Elazar. However, the Rabbi Zurika Amar Rabbi Yochanan ain't a Torah. My ain't a Torah. Amar Rabbi Abba kanho diachas she'in koach lishma. The Rabbi Meir he da Amar edi chasima kar say comes Rabbi Zurika in the name of Rabbi Yochanan and disagrees, and he says no, that he says that really there is no force to the idea that again has to be written lishma, and these brises are all reflecting Rabbi Meir that it's only about the chasima, that all we care about are the signatures. The signatures have to be lishma, but the actual writing of the get does not. So the obvious
question, yeah. When we say what are the witnesses, whether it's Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Meir, attesting to? Well, I mean,
what do you mean?
The witnesses, let's say Rabbi Meir, they're attesting to what?
They're saying that Reuven divorced Rachel. Whenever you sign your name on the bottom of a shtar, you're basically saying that everything written, you know, you're saying all everything written above is true, right? That's basically what you're saying, right? So that's the idea. If the Edom sign on a get, they sign on a shtar, they're essentially saying, you know, all the information as we understand it is correct, is true. So again, according to Rabbi Meir, they need to be made aware everything has to be done lishma. So in other words, for example, if let's say according to Rabbi Meir, if the Edom were going to sign on a get and they thought they were signing for a different woman or for a different man, so that would be a problem, right?
Again,
if you think that it's about the chasima, if you hold like Rabbi Meir, then yeah, for sure. Right. And the Edom have to be aware of what you know who and what they're signing for.
And according to Rabbi Eliezer, he's just attesting to the physical delivery.
According to Rabbi Elazar, there is somewhat of a debate in the Rishonim about this. Some Rishonim claim that Rabbi Elazar also believes like Rabbi Meir. In other words, he also thinks that the chasimas have to be lishma, but he takes it even a step further. He says even beyond the chasima, the actual writing of the get itself. That's why he can't subscribe to that brice that we quoted earlier about, you know, the guy finds a get in the garbage, then he could just sign it, because you have no way of knowing if the ksiva was lishma unless you add in that caveat that it was, you know, that the essential parts were written by a gadol. Okay, so then the Gemara asks, so the Gemara says, how can you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan says that these brisos conform to Rabbi Meir? Didn't he just say in the previous lines in the Gemara that these brisos all conform to Rabbi Elazar? So the Gemara says, there were different versions floating amongst the Amoraim as to exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. So there was a machlokes whether Rabbi Yochanan sided with Rabbi Meir or with Rabbi Elazar. Okay, then the Mishnah says, HaKol K'sherin L'Havi Esaget Chutz Mecheres Shota V'Katan V'Suma V'Ove Kocham. Anyone is valid to deliver a get, to be a shliach to deliver a get, except for a cheresh shota katan, a non-Jew or a person who's blind. So the Mishnah explains, kibel hakatan v'higdil, cheresh v'nispakeach, suma v'nistapeach, shota v'nishtapa, ovekocham v'nisgayer pasol, aval pikeach v'nischarish v'chazer v'nispakeach, pasuach v'nistame v'chazer v'nispateach, shafwe v'nishtata v'chazer v'nishtafa kasher, zeh klal kol shetchilaso v'sofo bedas kasher. So the Mishnah says like this, that if a person starts out in a state where they're invalid to be a shliach for a get, so let's say the person's a chereish, so even if they subsequently become competent, or if they used to be blind and then they gain their eyesight, or they were non-Jewish and then they convert, those are not valid. The only way that it's valid is if, let's say, the person starts off in a state where they're fit and they end in a state where they're fit. So let's say the person starts out as a regular competent individual, they become a shota, and then by the time they actually deliver the get, they're back to being a competent individual. So in those cases, the Mishnah says, then the delivery of the shlichus of the get will be valid. The Mishnah has this idea, this klal, that as long as the beginning of the shlichus and the end of the shlichus was was in a state of competence, in a state of das, so then even if in the middle they became a shoter, they became a sumer, or whatever, so the get is still going to be, is still going to be valid. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam achere shoter v'katan, delav v'nei deyaninu, ovekochavim nami delav bar hateirahu, ela suma amayla. So I understand why achere shoter v'katan can't deliver a get, they don't have das. I understand why a guy also can't deliver a get, because a guy is not subject to the laws of get and v'kidushin, as the Gemara is going to talk about in a second. But why can't a blind person deliver a get? What's the issue with the blind person delivering a get? So the Gemara says, says the Gemara, the issue is that a blind person doesn't know from whom he's taking the get and to whom he's delivering the get, right? In other words, he can't actually see any of the parties involved, and therefore he can't deliver a get. So asks the Gemara, maskeflor of Yosef, heich suma mutter be'ishto, heich b'nei adam mutarim bin shoseyam balayla, ela b'tevias deyna dekala, hachanami b'tevias deyna dekala. The Gemara says, hang on a second, what's the justification for a blind person to ever have relations with his wife? Or what's the justification for a regular person to have relations with their own wife at night, again, in times of the Gemara, when it was pitch black and he couldn't see anything? How do you know it's really your wife? Maybe it's a different woman. So the Gemara says, obviously, we're relying on what the Gemara calls tevius ena dekala, or basically voice recognition. You're relying on the fact that you can tell who the person is by their voice. So if you can tell who the person is by their voice, so why can't you say the same thing by a blind person who delivers again? He knows who the person is just by their voice. So the Gemara says, no. Elo amar Rav Yosef, hacha b'chutz ala aretz askin and debay lemeimar b'fanei nechtav u'fanei nechtav elo matzi lemeimar. This case specifically is talking about a get that's being delivered from chutz la'aretz. What's the difference? Because there, he needs to say b'fanei nechtav u'fanei nechtav, and a blind person can't say that because he never witnessed the get being written or signed. He can't see anything. So he obviously didn't see that. So in chutz la'aretz, he would not be a valid shliach. In Eretz Yisrael, if it was a regular get in Eretz Yisrael, then a blind person could be a shliach. But because it's being delivered from chutz la'aretz, that's going to be problematic. So asks the Gemara, amar le'abaye ele me'ata, pasuach v'nestami de'matzi amar, hachi nami de'chasher. So the Gemara says, well, okay, so let's say you have the following scenario. Let's say you have a guy who has his eyesight. You make him a shliach to deliver a get, and then he becomes blind before he delivers the get. So the Gemara says, seemingly, he should be allowed to deliver the get even from chutz la'aretz, because he at least witnessed the writing and the signing before he lost his eyesight. The problem is, v'hakatani pasuach v'nestami v'chazer v'nestapeach kasher, chazer v'nestapeach in lo, chazer v'nestapeach lo. The Mishnah made it very clear that only a person who started out with eyesight, lost his eyesight, and then regained his eyesight is able to be a shliach, implying clearly that if the person simply had eyesight and then lost it and never regained it, that they would not be a suitable option to deliver the get. But why not? As long as they had eyesight at the beginning, they clearly witnessed the writing and the signing of the get. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Who had din da'afa gav de luchazer v'nistapeach, v'aydi de katoni shofi v'nishtata v'chazer v'nishtafa, taima de chazer v'nishtafa, haluchazer v'nishtafa lo, tananami pasuach v'nistami v'chazer v'nistapeach. Basically, the Gemara says that in reality, you're right, that a person who started out with eyesight and became blind, even if they never regained their eyesight, they could be a valid shliach to deliver a get. The only reason why the Mishnah formulated the case in such a way of the guy had his eyesight, he lost his eyesight, he regained his eyesight, is simply to parallel the other cases in the Mishnah. Let's say, for example, the case of the Shota, right? A person who starts out as being competent, then becomes a Shota, and then regains his competence, that's the only scenario where that shlichus is going to work. If a person remains a Shota, he is ineligible to deliver the get. So the only reason why the Mishnah uses this language that the guy had his eyesight, lost it, and then regained it, is simply to parallel the language used in the case of the Shota. But in reality, a person who had eyesight and lost it, even if he never regained it, would be a valid shliach for a get, even one that's being delivered from chutz la'aretz. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, deka nami, deka tani zeh haklal, kol she tchilaso v'sofo bedas kasher, v'lo katani kol she tchilaso v'sofo b'chashrus kasher shma mina. And in fact, if you look at the klal that the Mishnah develops, it seems that this is accurate as well, because the Mishnah says that a person has to have das in the beginning and the end, not that the person has to be kasher. It doesn't make a difference at the end of the day, the person is kasher. The guy is blind at the end, he's not technically kasher, but he still has das. In other words, at the beginning, he was competent. At the end, he was competent. That's the key factor. So in the case of the Shota, as we mentioned, he needs to be competent in the beginning and the end, even if he becomes a Shota in the middle, to deliver a get. Assuma, a blind person is a bar das. Just because a person is blind doesn't mean that he doesn't have das. So as long as he has das at the end, even if he never regains his eyesight, he's still going to be kasher to deliver the get. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Bo minemi rabi ami. Eved ma'u sheyasa shaliach lekabel get isha miyad ba'ila. So let's say you have the following case. You have a husband wants to divorce his wife. He wants to give the get to his Eved Kanani to deliver to his wife. So Gemara wants to know, does that work? So Amar Lahu, midaka pasul leila ovid kochave, michlal de Eved kasher. Amar Ravasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, eino Eved nasa shaliach lekabel get leisha miyad ba'ila, lefi she'eno betoras get to the kitushin. So there seems to be a machloka. So first the Gemara makes it sound like that it's only a non-Jew who's disqualified from delivering a get, imply that an Eved Kanani would be valid. But then the Gemara says, no, that is not true, that even an Eved Kanani is not valid to deliver a get, because he's not betoras, he's not in the parsha of Gittin v'kidushin. So asks asks the Gemara, Maskefla Rabbi Elazar, Taimba b'milsa d'leisei, ha b'milsa d'isei kasher. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says that it sounds like the only reason why an Eved Kanani is disqualified from acting as a shaliach to deliver a get is simply because he happens to not be subject to the laws of get and v'kidushin, implying that if there was another area of halacha where he was subject to those laws, he could theoretically be a shliach in that other area of halacha. So the Gemara says the problem is the ha'ovei kochavim v'hakusi to isnu b'toras truma d'nafshayu disnan ha'ovei kochavim v'hakusi shetarmu mishalohem truma som truma usnan ovei kochavim shetarim shal Yisrael afilu birushus ain truma so truma my taima la mishum dechsev gam atem ma atem Yisrael afshluch achem Yisrael. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that we have a Mishnah Maseches Trumos that tells us that if a non-Jew or a kusi separates truma from their own produce, that's a valid act of afresh. Now again, they're not chayiv to do so, but if they decided to separate truma, the truma would be valid. The problem is that the opening Mishnah Maseches Trumos tells us that if a non-Jew goes ahead and separates truma on behalf of a Jew, even with the Jew's permission, that is not a valid act of hafreshes truma. But the question is, why not? In other words, we just got through saying a second ago that the only reason why an Eved Kanani can't deliver a get is because he happens to not be subject to the laws of get and v'kidushin, implying that if he was subject to the laws of a different area of halacha, he could be a shaliach, but that seems to not be borne out by this halacha in Maseches Trumos, because a non-Jew could theoretically separate truma from his own produce, and yet, if he tries to do so on behalf of a Jew, even with the Jew's permission, that's a problem. Why is that a problem? The Gemara says, presumably, it's a problem because at the end of Parshas Korach, when the Torah talks about the laws of truma, it uses the phrase, it says, gamatem. It says, kein tarimu gamatem. So too you must separate truma. So the Gemara says, doesn't that mean that just as you are a Jew, so too your shaliach must be a Jew, and therefore a non-Jew is excluded? So the Gemara says, no. Amri devei Rabbi Yane lo, ma'atem b'nei bris, av shluchachem b'nei bris. It has nothing to do with being Jewish, but rather has to do with being a ben bris. It has to be someone who's circumcised. So an Eved Kanani is circumcised, whereas a non-Jew is not. Even if you have a non-Jew, technically is circumcised, but non-Jews writ large are considered to be arelim. So even if biologically they are circumcised, they're not going to be able to separate truma free. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eina Eved Nasa Shaliach Lakabel Gadishem Yad Bayil Lefi Yishena B'Torah Zgitim V'Kidushin. So again, the same halacha we keep on quoting here, which is that an Eved Kanani is not qualified to be a shliach to deliver a get because he's not in the parsha of Gitim V'Kidushin. So the Gemara explains, V'Yafal Pisha Shaninu Harei Ad Shivcha Uvladech Ben Chorin Im Ha'isa Ubara Zachsalo Mayim Ha'isa Ubara Zachsalo Ki Asa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan Tartei Amar Nirim Devarim Shal Eved Mekabel Get Lachaveru Miyad Rabo Shal Chaveru Avalo Miyad Rabo Shalo. So the Gemara says like this, that there's a halacha that appears, there's a Gemara that appears in Maseches Temura that says the following. Let's say the master says to his shivcha, Kananis, you are still my shivcha, but any children that you have, children that you're going to have in the future are going to be free. So the Gemara in Temura says that if the woman was pregnant when he made this declaration, so she acquires freedom for her children. So the Gemara says, what does that mean exactly? So the Gemara quotes a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. So the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan we already quoted earlier, which is that an Eved Kanani cannot be a shliach to deliver a get. The second statement of Rabbi Yochanan is the following, is that an Eved Kanani can be a shaliach for a get shichur. So let's say, for example, you have an adon who wants to free one of his avadim kananim. So let's say he has two avadim kananim. So the halacha is that an Eved Kanani can accept a shtar shichur on behalf of a different Eved Kanani, provided that that second Eved Kanani is not owned by the same master that he's owned by. If they're both owned by the same master, then he cannot accept the shtar shichur. If the other Eved Kanani is owned by a different master, so then he is able to accept the shtar shichur on his behalf. The imlach shicha adam lomar zo halacha shenuya. So maybe a person is going to whisper to you, and they're going to say, hang on a second, these two halachos are contradictory. Why? Because you're telling me that the only time that an Eved Kanani can accept a shtar shichur on behalf of another Eved Kanani is if the other Eved Kanani is owned by a different master, but if he's owned by the same master as he is, then he cannot do so. But the problem is that didn't we just say a second ago that if the master says to his pregnant shivcha kananis, that you're still my shivcha, but your kids are going to go free, so that she acquires freedom on their behalf. But the question is, what's the difference? Those kids are also under his rule. They're also under his aegis. So why, in the case of the Eved Kanani, can he not accept the shtar shichur on behalf of the other Eved that's under the same ownership of the same Adon, but yet in the case of the Ubar, there should be a difference? So the Gemara says, no. Emor lo shnei gedolei hador pirshu es hadavar abzirav reshum bar av yitzchak chad amar hamani rebi hidamar hamashachar chatzi avdo kana v'chad amar maitaymi de rebi b'ha kasavar ubar yarechimahu v'nasekim yishihikna la'echan me'ivaret. So there were two different approaches given to answer this question. They're very, very similar, actually. The first answer is to say that this halacha in Temura that says that when the Adon says to his pregnant Shivcha Kananis, you're still my Shivcha, but your kids can go free, that would only be true according to Rebbe. Rebbe happens to be of the opinion, again, in Mesechus Temura and the Gemara Libel later on, that if a person frees half their Eved, that half goes free. So in other words, the Adon has the ability to only free the Ubar and not the mother. That's one approach. The other approach is to say that this reflects the famous Machlokas that appears throughout Shas about what's called Ubar Yerechimo. There's Machlokas all throughout Shas about the status of a fetus. Whether we view a fetus as fundamentally being an extension of the mother, that's called Ubar Yerechimo, or do we say Ubar Lav Yerechimo, that the fetus is effectively independent of the mother. So if you take the approach that Ubar Yerechimo, that the fetus is essentially an extension of the mother, so what the master is doing here essentially is that he's giving over one of her limbs back to her, which he has the right to do, because the other one owns the Shifcha. So by saying your children, your fetus is going to go free, he's effectively saying you could have half your body back. You could have half of, you know, what I own, you could have back, as opposed to the case of the Eved Kanani, where that's not a consideration. The cases are totally different because the Eved Kanani is trying to act as a shaliach on behalf of the other Eved Kanani. Okay.
Rabbi, yeah. What's the issue with one slave freeing the other slave?
So the simple answer to the question is that because they're owned by the same master, so we know that there's a principle in halacha that, you know, kol mashakana eved kana rabba, whatever the slave acquires automatically goes to the master. There's a whole discussion later in the Masechta about how can you ever free your eved ever, because the second you give him the shtar shechar, it should go right back to the master, right? So there's a whole discussion about this, about, you know, exactly how that works. But the bottom line is that it sounds like if they're both owned by the same master, so then then you run into this problem of what's called Yad Eved Kiyad Rabo, that his hand is effectively an extension of the master's hand, and there's no real way to free the person that's owned by the same other. Okay, says the Mishnah. Afa nashim she'ena ne'manos lomar meiz baila, ne'manos lahavi ez gita. Chamosa uvas chamosa v'tzarasa v'yevimta uvas baila. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah here is alluding to a Mishnah that appears at the very end of Masechus Yevamos. At the end of Yevamos, the Mishnah discusses those types of women that do not have credibility to say that a certain woman's husband died. Now again, why are we believing a woman to say that anybody died? Normally we don't, you know, accept women's testimony about almost anything. So that's a whole discussion at the end of Yevamos, exactly how this works. But basically, the Mishnah says that there are certain types of women where there's a presumption of animosity. So for example, the woman's mother-in-law, the woman's sister-in-law, the woman's husband's brother's wife, her Yevama, her co-wife, her husband's daughter, all these women that have some kind of a presumption of animosity, if they were to walk into Bezdin and say, I know that Rachel's husband, which could be, you know, her son or her brother, whoever, you know, whoever it is, I know that he died, we don't believe her. Why don't we believe her? Because we assume that she's trying to mess her life up. Because what's going to happen? If she takes her word for it that her husband died, she's going to get remarried, she's going to have kids. If it turns out the husband's alive, the kids are mamzerim, she's going to violate losinav, she's going to have to leave both of her husbands, it's going to be a whole mess. So therefore, if these women, where there's a presumption of animosity, walk into Beis Din and say, we know that Rachel's husband died, we throw them out of Beis Din and we ignore them. However, if they walk into Beis Din with a get, and they say, look, we have a get that proves that Reuven divorced Rachel, then we can believe them. So the question, of course, is what's the difference? Ma bein get lemisa, sha'aksa mochia. So the Mishnah is very simply. The difference is that they have evidence here. They actually have a get that says that the divorce was effectuated, as opposed to the case of Misa, where they're just making up a story, and we have no way of knowing if they're telling the truth. Then the Mishnah says, "Isha atzma mevia es gita uvilvad sheitzricha lomar befanei nechta befanei nechtam." A woman can bring her own get to Beis Din also, provided again that she has to say befanei nechta befanei nechtam, thereby certifying and validating the get. So asks the Gemara, "The hasanya kashim she'ein emanos lomar meiz baila kach ein emanos lahavi gita." So the Braisa seems to undermine the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that even though these women who harbor animosity towards Rachel are not believed to say that her husband died, they are believed if they come in with a get. But the Braisa says even in that case they're not believed. So which one is it? Amar Rav Yosef lo kashya kan be'eretz Yisrael kan b'chutz la'aretz ba'aretz de lava adibure didaka samchinan mehimna b'chutz la'aretz de adibure didaka samchinan lo mehimna. So one answer in the Gemara is that it depends if it's an Eretz Yisrael or a chutz la'aretz. So when you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you're just in other words, you're relying on her word. So then you can believe. I'm sorry. Where you're not relying on her word, because there's no requirement of saying b'fanei nechtav in Eretz Yisrael. So you're not relying on her. She has a get. The get is valid. So therefore you can believe her. But whereas in chutz la'aretz, where it's not enough for her to bring the get, and she actually has to certify the get and say b'fanei nechtav, so then already you have to start questioning her credibility. So the Gemara pushes back. Amar le Abaye adarabba ipcha mistabra ba'aretz de iase balma arer mashkechinam bei de ika lemimer lekil kula kamechavna lamehimna b'chutz la'aretz de iase balma arer lamashkechinam bei mehimna. So Abaye says you should say the exact opposite, because in Eretz Yisrael, if the husband were to come later on and contest the validity of the get and claim the get is a forgery, so you would have to, you would have to at least take that into account, because the get was never certified, because since there's no requirement of saying b'fanei nichtav in chutz la'ara, I'm sorry, in Eretz Yisrael, the husband can always question the validity of the get. The get would therefore have to be certified, and therefore that should undermine the woman's credibility. Whereas in chutz la'aretz, once you say b'fanei nichtav, the get is certified, and there's no way for the husband to contest the validity of the get. So maybe Abaye says it should be the opposite, that we should only believe the woman in chutz la'aretz and not in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara ends off. It says Tanya Kivase da Abaye, Rabbi Ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva Isha Nemenes Lahavi Gita Mikal V'Chomer. A woman is believed to bring her own get into Beis Din based on a Kal V'Chomer. Uma Nashim Sha'amru Chachamim Ein Nemanos Lomar Meis Baila Nemanos Lahavi Gita. Again, regarding the women in the Mishnah where we said that they're not believed to come into Beis Din and say that Rachel's husband died, but they are believed if they come in with a get. So he Shene Emenes Lomar Meis Baila Ein Odin Shene Emenes Lahavi Gita. So the woman herself, she is believed to say her own husband died. That's the whole sugya at the end of Yevamos. That if a woman walks into Bezdin and says her own husband died, we believe her, because the Gemara Yevamos has this idea called Isha Daika Ominsava, that women do their due diligence before getting remarried, because they know what the consequences will be if it turns out that their husband's alive. So therefore, since we believe her to say that her own husband died, if she walks in with the get, we believe her as well. So this seems to conform to Abaye's idea that the woman is believed to say that the get is valid in this scenario.